Good afternoon, welcome to the regular board meeting, Rancho Marietta Community Service District, June 5th, 2024. It's 4 p.m. Amelia, could we do roll call, please?
Director Bibbs.
Present.
Director Butler.
Here.
Director Jacob.
Here.
Director Beatty.
Here.
Director Cole.
Here.
I make a motion to consider adoption of the agenda as is. Could I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director Beatty. Roll call, Director Beatty.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director Beatty.
Aye.
Aye.
Item three is one of the fun things we get to do as a board member, and they don't come that often, no offense, but it's a presentation for longevity awards. We have two of them, one for Mario, who's here, and I don't see Rick. Mario's got his 10-year service, which I won't speak for the other board members, but you've been in front of this board before for some exceptional customer service that, I mean, quite honestly, is life-changing, right, for that resident. So, again, your dedication to the district and the community doesn't go without notice, and we appreciate that. What we have is just a certificate here on behalf of the district, recognizing your dedication, hard work, and loyalty, really, to the community. At the end of the day, any organization, it's not about its elected officials or those things, but it's about the people who get the work done. And so with that, we do have a little signed presentation for you.
I used to have hands, we know that.
Okay, well, you're getting into a touchy subject.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, perfect.
Mario, thank you.
Thanks, Mario.
Good to go, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Unbutton your shirt and go.
Button your shirt up until you get back.
The other person was Rick Diaz. He is 30 years employee. Most of us know Rick from Gates Services. Mm-hmm. We were out here when he started. The other thing I'd like to thank Rick is for his military service prior to coming to the district. So if you would pass that along. Okay, very good. Item number four is closed session. Amelia, we have closed session from now until 5:30. As always, if I anticipate going long, I will text you. Just to let you in on some inside fun that we have in closed sessions. I really have a hard time keeping Martin Pohl quiet, and that's why we run over. Okay, so just for the record, I'll try it. I'll take the gavel and try and keep Martin in order. With that, can we close open session, and we'll start again at 5:30, please. Welcome back. I apologize. We're a couple minutes late. I realize everyone's time is valuable. Just we needed the extra time with legal counsel. Out of closed session, no decisions, excuse me, were made. Staff direction was given to staff and to legal counsel. Item six, unless I see something from the board, I make a motion to accept the consent calendar as is.
Second.
Thank you, Director. Maybe. If we have discussion, we'll call vote. Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Baker.
Aye.
Director
Nitty. Aye.
Director
Cole. Aye.
Item seven, staff report, general manager. Mimi, good to see you back. Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be back. And I apologize, this is rather a long general manager's report.
It was.
I have a
copy. I don't even have a copy.
So I'll try to not exaggerate. exactly zip through it, but get us through it in a timely way. All right, so we're continuing our work on improving customer service and tracking communication. So included in this general manager's report are the PRAs and general questions received in the last month. Questions specifically targeted towards the IWMP and the town hall are also attached. Those questions were often synthesized, reduced in order to fit on the report format, and there were about 60 questions, a little fewer than 60 questions, and they came from a variety of sources, but all the questions that we received were included, all the questions that we received by May 14th were included in that report of questions and answers, and then we will be adding in all the questions that were actually presented at the town hall and provide those by the end of this month. And then I wanted to talk a little bit more about our problematic meter reads. As reported in last month's pipeline, there have been hundreds of problematic meter reads over the last year. These stem from a variety of issues, but are mostly due to faulty communication between the Tyler utility billing system implemented in April of 22 and outdated meters or missing metadata on the meters. And over the last year, customers with problematic meters were charged for water usage that was estimated at the exact same amount as prior months in the same time frame, the same season, leading many to doubt the accuracy of their bills or to marvel at how they used exactly the same amount of water each month. So Mark Matalich, Ron Greenfield, and Chris Kunikashi and others tackled this problem and have a goal of eliminating all the faulty meter reads by the end of this month. Part of the fix is reconciling overall water usage over the time of the miscommunications and billing or crediting the customer's accounts for any imbalances. Upon correction of the data communication issue, the actual water usage is clear from the meter read, and the process of correcting bills for the underestimated usage, often over many months, has led to unfortunate sticker shock, as everyone can imagine. Those impacted by this specific issue have received additional correspondence with their bill explaining the issue and providing payment options to spread out previously underbilled amounts so there's not a dramatic one-time increase in their monthly bill. To address the related issue of accurate statements that reflect all prior payments, the district made some minor adjustments regarding statement preparation and release dates. Statements are now being released on the first of the month so that there are at least 5 days from the payment due date of the 25th and the next billing date. We continue to encourage customers to sign up for online billing to streamline the process of crediting payments to the correct amounts, to the correct accounts. Automatic or electronic payment helps keep district costs down by doing this automatically. And then customers seem to be reluctant to transition to the new approach still. So we are considering an incentive approach, maybe a dollar amount, upon changing to the electronic approach, just to try to encourage change. I want to talk a little bit about our district staff. We've got a tremendous training repository as a result of our insurance pool, and they're offered at no charge to us, so I've asked managers and supervisors to ensure that staff take at least 1 hour of training each month on communication or supervisorial skills or safety, different issues, just so that we're getting the most out of that and also helping our staff develop themselves. I wanted to talk a little bit too about departures and arrivals. Director of Operations Michael Fritchie retired at the end of May. He joined the district almost 3 years ago and was responsible for many efforts designed to improve overall understanding of the condition of the overall water system. These efforts included recommending a drone analysis of the storage capacity of Calero and Chesbro and launching the current integrated water master plan to evaluate supply and demand both now and with projected development and identify potential solutions for any gaps. We appreciate the contributions of Mr. Petit and wish him all the best. We also lost...
I'm not going to say it.
A recruitment to replace Mr. Fricke will be posted within the next week, and we hope to have
Can't
the position filled by the end of August. Chief Plant Operator Travis Bohannon is serving as Interim Director of Operations during the recruitment, and we feel like we're in very good hands with Mr. Bohannon.
Thank you, Travis.
Michael Feldy, a plant utility operator hired last September, was recruited back by his former employer and left the district earlier last month. Recruitment is underway to replace him. We had two new part-time gate officers join the district staff last month. Darren Washington and Richard Helene are both residents of Rancho Murrieta and are welcome additions to the team. The proposed 24-25 budget includes the addition of one patrol officer. If the budget passes tonight, staff will begin the recruitment process to fill that position to assist with the increased security demands that arise during the summer months. Moving on to our financial position, barring any questions about that.
I have just one. What level of certification did Mr. Feldy hold?
He was a grade one wastewater and a grade one water. And he just got his two water.
Okay.
All right. I want to talk about our operating budget. The board will vote today on the proposed 24-25 operating budget. The operating budget is roughly $100,000 less than 23-24 and does not include a projected deficit like 23-24. The balanced budget covers operational costs and allows for the utilization of the property tax revenues and other fees to be directed toward the growth of reserves. Reserves are a key revenue source to cover anticipated future infrastructure expenses that are essential to maintaining overall system viability. The balanced budget is built on increased fees that were deemed essential to ensure that both current and future expenses are covered. Reserve needs are were very roughly estimated by the 2023 grand jury at $20 million, but the most recent infrastructure report by Lumos and Associates indicates a much higher figure and an annual need of almost $17.1 million. Strategic asset management planning will be required to utilize scarce reserve resources to ensure full operational integrity as the system ages. Current reserves are estimated at $12.5 million, but the actual balance will not be known until the prior year audits are finalized in the coming year. And speaking of those audits, the audits for fiscal years 21-22 and 22-23 are outstanding, and the FY 22-24 audit will be due in about 6 to 9 months, just coming up on the close of that in 3 more weeks. Staff have been cleaning up the record keeping on the prior years to prepare for the audits. Due to significant turnover from those earlier years, a subsequent lack of institutional knowledge, and resulting deficient accounting practices and procedures, there is a substantial workload to ensure accurate financial reporting. Once the prior year audits are finalized and the new protocols are fully integrated into accounting procedures, future audits will be conducted in a much more timely manner. Staff will be reporting out on the current 23-24 fiscal year on July 11th, and then request a temporary change to quarterly financial committee work to address the 21-22, 22-23, and 23-24 fiscal year books, with the goal of completing those audits in the next really like 9 months. Staff proposed the following timeline: an October meeting to present quarter one 24-25 results and the 21-22 audit, a January meeting to present quarter two 24-25 results and the 22-23 audit, and an April meeting to present the quarter three 24-25 results and the current year 23-24 audit. Beginning in April, monthly financial committee work would resume with a focus on the next year's budget. Any questions about the finances?
Nope.
So under water quality and access, the May 30th town hall was widely attended by roughly 250 to 275 members of the community. Board Director Stephen Booth did an excellent job of facilitating the meeting and ensuring the critical decorum required for a peaceful and productive conversation about the water system. The consultants presented sobering information regarding the impacts of drought years under both current demands and demands with the full build-out projected with current development projects. The message that was given was that doing nothing is not an option, regardless of whether future development occurs. Both current state requirements for backup storage and alternative supply and the need to be forward-thinking to prevent a water shortfall require advanced planning. Director Booth will be sharing more information on the town hall later in this meeting. In other water news, on May 20th, the State Water Resources Control Board issued updated regulation sets for the conservation requirement known as Making Water Conservation a California Way of Life. This regulation for managing urban water use includes expanding storage, promoting more efficient water use, and developing new water supplies. Importantly, the regulation will hold water suppliers, i.e. the district, to targeted water use objectives. The district will be considered an urban water supplier when 3,000 end users exist. The district currently has about 2,700 end users. And finally, keeping the entire Rancho Murrieta community safe, the reinstatement of security logs got sidelined. But we hope to reinstate soon as we integrate technology to diminish the manual nature of that reporting. And also, the County of Sacramento Sheriff's Service Center is expected to reopen in the next several weeks for 4 hours each week to provide support to the community. Space within the district's main office has been designated to the VIPs. VIPs are volunteers in partnership with the sheriff. These volunteers help citizens with neighborhood and law enforcement related issues and questions, crime reports, fingerprinting, and safety cares. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Any questions of the general manager?
No.
Mimi?
Yes.
Could you just say it again about expanding storage and what were the other three things that you said in your...
About the Making Conservation of California. It's expanding storage, promoting more efficient water use, and developing new water supplies. So storage, supplies, and...
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark?
Thank you. Due to the tight time frame of this meeting being on the 5th, there wasn't enough time to get the books closed and a financial report for May ready for this meeting. But as Mimi said, in July, at the July board meeting, we'll have a financial report that shows the financial results for fiscal year 23-24. As far as the budget goes, I think Mimi covered the budget. It's the same budget that's been presented the last couple of board meetings. No changes to that, but there will be a resolution this evening under item number 11 for the board to consider.
Very good. Any questions of Mark? All right. Travis.
I, too, have a shorter utility report. but I do have a couple of points that I'd like to do. Currently, right now,
we are producing about 2.9 million gallons a day at the water plant to meet desired needs. The 2023 Consumer Confidence Report was put on the website about a week or so ago, and I'll be sending in all the paperwork with my monthly report here this week. Everything looked fine. We did have the issue with the lead. With the lead and copper, I retested that area and it came in within limits, and the state was willing to accept that secondary read. We will be having to do another set of lead and copper starting this month because those samples weren't put into their 3-month time period that they needed to be done. So they said thank you for those, but go ahead and submit another set in between June and August. So we'll be getting those out probably to the same people here this month.
Very good.
To have those go out. We did complete pumping from Cosumnes River on the 31st. We did top off all lakes to about a half inch from spill. I don't like to pump and spill. We did pump a total of 2,363 and a half acre feet of water, about 770 million gallons of water this season. And right now, like I said, we did top off and everything's full for this year. Yay! Nothing right now. We're the wastewater plant. We're pumping about 1.6 million gallons to meet the golf course's need. They had some issues, so we had to slow down, but they're back up and running. I don't have a current utilities report. I haven't gotten those yet. We're still working on our monthly reports.
No worries.
And so I don't have, and there really isn't much updates on the SB 170. We are moving forward with the Grand Lease improvement. We're going to be having a meeting with the ranchers, so they'll know, because we'll be doing some water changes with the ditch. And so we just want to keep them in the loop of everything and what's going on. They got the environmental report back, so that we're anticipating here. We haven't got an exact start date yet, but we're still working on that.
If I remember from conversation, it's going to be towards the end of the year?
Correct. Okay. It'll be before the next pumping season starts in November. I know that the contractor is starting to turn in submittals for approval. So we're working on that right now. And there hasn't been really any change or update in development. So the current CIP matrix that is in your packet is up to date as of yesterday. I made one change this morning to the wastewater drying bed pump station. That project got finished yesterday. Finally, after 5 years of trying to get it done, finally got done. But other than that, this is all current and up to date.
Thank you. Board, any questions of Travis? Travis, thank you. Mm-hmm. Nice to have you in that seat over there.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Item 8, review of district meetings. Pretty straightforward. If there are board members that need to look at committee meeting dates, that if we need to modify, just work back through Amelia, if you will.
The question, of course, was, do we want to have it the day before or the day after? Well, I put it all on July 2nd because the 4th is Thursday, so I'm not going to be here. Are those your wishes, committee members?
Sounds fine.
Yeah, okay.
If not, they'll contact you and we'll reschedule, and you'll send out the notice. Thank you. Item 9, correspondence. We have it in the packet. We have two of them.
We actually have many more in the packet that are posted online because they came out right. Most of the packet last week on Thursday, and I do have 1, 2, 3 people who would like to comment on their correspondence, if that's appropriate, sir.
Start with the first one that put something in place.
Well, sorry, Director, maybe may I just go back to item 8, please?
We can.
We've determined to start the communications meetings at 9 a.m., mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
If you would make that correction, please, Amelia, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
She has it. It is 9.
I have 9 o'clock on mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at the agenda that was on my desk here when we came in, and it still says 8:30. Thank you.
Actually, you're right. I've got an 8:30 for June 6th, and then July I've got a 9. So we want tomorrow 9 o'clock.
Correct.
9 o'clock tomorrow. Good call. Good catch. Okay.
The first person is Carol.
I
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I sent this letter in after the May 30th meeting at the club. RMCSD Board of Directors and Mimi Morris, General Manager, we, being my husband and I, attended the Integrated Water Master Plan meeting on May 30th at Rancho Marietta Country Club. First, we thought the meeting went well and was very informative. We were deeply disturbed, however, that only two of the board members were present. This is a clear dereliction of duty and commitment to the community. This board, as duly elected by this community, has a fiduciary duty to support the community they serve or are supposed to serve. Second, the board must demand that the Integrated Water Master Plan data be corrected to reflect the on-the-ground reality, not assumptions, what-ifs, and kisses and promises. Lisa brought up a very interesting point and what appears to be a viable consideration. And that was the real-life lack of water situation in Cambria, California. Cambria is a rural community like ours, relying on undammed creeks, like our river, to provide water to their community. According to Cambria CSD, in 2001, San Luis Obispo County, in recognition of Cambria's dire water situation, imposed a building moratorium on Cambria. That moratorium remains in effect today. Once our Integrated Water Master Plan data has been corrected, we strongly urge the board to submit the plan to Sacramento County for consideration of a moratorium on building here. Wishing isn't a strategy. Winging it isn't a strategy. The reality is so much water supply falls out of the sky. And we have no control over that. Therefore, we need to be proactive and realistic regarding what we can control. Controlling demand is our only option, and it should not be on the backs of the members of this community beyond reasonable restrictions. The developers have no skin in this game. They build, they leave. And we, the community, are left to pick up the pieces. This simply isn't fair to the community. Thank you for your consideration of our opinion.
Thank you. And I'll be as polite as I can, because I assume you were addressing the dereliction of duty to myself, because I was not there.
No, that's fine. Two of the five.
One second. Mr. Ramos, would you explain to this resident, as well as everyone else, the thought process of a town hall versus having a board meeting and having all the board members or a third board member present and taking place?
There we go. There are Brown Act limitations on the board being able to appear, but for these town halls, we were able to make an exception. I believe there were three board members in attendance.
There were Director Pohl and Director Butler, and I were all there.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
No worries. And it's just
I failed to recognize him, Mr. Director Pohl, because I didn't see him until the end of the meeting. So that was my fault.
Either, actually,
that was my fault for not recognizing Director Pohl.
He came in at the end. He wasn't there for all. My only point is we set up this process to give information to the community, get feedback from the community, and so it was just the cleanest way, as legal counsel said. Otherwise, there are regulations and processes, time limit, just all those things. As a board, we stepped away from it. All the information comes to the board. So I just want everyone to understand, and I get why you said what you said, and I understand that. But this was a conscious process beginning this calendar year to have this format, and I think it's worked pretty well. But otherwise, I get everything you said, ma'am, and I do appreciate you coming up and talking about it.
Thank you. I was on the MTI board for 4 years. I'm familiar with the Brown Act. So. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Number two, please, Amelia.
And I apologize. Maybe we will have this. This is the internet's down, so.
The what?
Seeing it up on the screen is just going to be what it's going to be.
Okay.
I'm going to try and get it up again.
Okay. First, before I mention my letter, I do want to say something to Ms. Morris. You stated that everyone's questions were answered, and that is absolutely not true. I've been asking questions of CSD since March, actually before March of 23, but formally on March 23, and those questions have not been answered, and I just 2 days ago sent another email to him maybe and asked that when are my questions going to be answered? I mean, I waited 15 months. So anyway, I want you to know that. Now, as far as the correspondence, I don't know if any of you have read my letter that I sent to you, but I want to make something really clear. When I was up there, I was pointing out the discrepancies, the inaccuracies in the data, and I was specifically talking to the recycled water data. And it was really interesting. The gentleman who was with Ms. Maddow got up and he said, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, I understand. And I want to make something clear. He says, these numbers are not generated by us. Any inaccuracies are not on us. I thought that was very telling. I want to make sure that you understand the data in the recycled water is inaccurate. It's mathematically impossible, and you're counting on 955 acre feet of water as an assumption that you can have, that you absolutely will not have, because there is not the supply to support it. So that 955 acre feet means that you're going to be using 955 acre feet of potable water instead. That's really dramatic. And so I'm saying stop the study, clean up the data errors. If the assumptions are not if they're not something that can be used, face it, and then move on. But we've got to have an actual study that says where we are, because if we don't, how are you supposed to know as a board when you start cutting off our water? I mean, to like maybe you have to cut it to 50% in a drought. You're not going to know that actual time because you really don't know the correct plan. It isn't accurate. Thank you.
Thank you. Amelia, the next one, please.
I have one more.
John.
John Richard?
Oh.
Hi, good evening. I too sent a letter that uses a word that's been used several times before, and that's assumption. And I tried as best I could, based on what I've collected and what I saw at the meetings, to identify all of the options that are listed on the website at the end of page 3. And if you start with Clementia, both from a aspect of what the permit really says and what you can do with it, and you discuss the drainage and what the limitations on drainage are and what the impact of drainage is if you replace all of the natural drainage and runoff behind Clementia and in that 1,100-acre watershed, if you replace it with urban stormwater. If you, as Janice said, make an assumption that you're going to yield over 900 acre feet of recycled water, somebody really needs to sit down and explain it to, not just to me, but to you. The muttering at the meeting was it was coming because there was a possibility we would have an assisted living facility. And if they're going to generate 300 acre feet of water, I really want to know what they're doing over there. It goes on into what I thought we might have dismissed in April, which was kind of the voodoo of a system that has a light switch that switches recycled water back and forth from irrigation in villages A, B, and C, and from use of diverted raw water on the golf course. I did an analysis. Just look back. I have pictures. John Sullivan and I went out and took these in August of 2021. So I went back and I did an analysis just for the summer months where that permit is applicable. And the yield, first of all, the yield in the month of August, the mean yield on the river in the month of August was zero. There was no flow whatsoever. It started in June where it peaked at 74 cubic feet a second, and by the time it got to September, it was almost non-existent. So that's the water that that plant says they can yield from Mr. Granley's old 1950 permit, and they can put on the golf course. Nobody's really spoken to the golf course people, either through social media or through the board. You know, they have the only guarantee in town. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones, you know, they're the only ones with green grass in a drought. And I would go ask them why they would give it up. And I would also, before I went over there, read the agreement that we wrote in 1988 that assures them first priority on the recycled water. The final point that they made at the very bottom that came out, that didn't come out in the meeting, and all of this is in the letter I wrote, was the fact that now there's an anticipation, at build-out that we might require 3 to 5 wells, and each of those wells would be yielding over 1,000 gallons per minute. Nobody has explained to us to this point how much of an emergency supply we need and for how long and under what conditions. And then you can extend that beyond what do we do with it after we pump it out of the ground, where do we store it, how do we move it into our existing system, what does that cost, and who is it you're going to ask to pay for this. So basically the only thing that's left in the summary in that page, in that phase three analysis, that is a sure thing is that you can conserve 50% of existing resident water and you can yield 850 acre feet. And damn it, Lisa says it again. She says it in 2006, she says it in 2010, she says it in 2016, and she says it in 2024. She's using 50% and 30% conservation numbers, not as a drought preparation, but as a tool to justify development. And we've been yelling about that for years. It's what got me back into this, and it's wrong. So those are really the things that are all other. The first four are assumptions, and the last one is a fact. And I have been wrestling with what you call this, but when I listened to Ms. Prinzo, I guess that's a good word, moratorium. I think you need to put some of these assumptions in your pocket as facts before you can develop a draft report. And the last thing I want to say is if you develop a draft report, it is going to make some kind of a recommendation. And I've been advised, and not in the community, but outside the community in some of the places that I have traveled over the last 6 months, that it's important at this point that the public get the county involved. And if we see something with a result that isn't substantiated by fact and not assumption, then we're going to have to do that. And we've been bringing out people. We had 250 people at that meeting. We had 175 at the one prior to it and 175 before that. I had a guy turn his golf cart around on his way to the golf course and chase me the other day and stop me and ask questions that I had never met before. The public is engaged. And I'll tell you something, and this is my opinion. I'm not going to present this as a fact. I'm not finding anybody standing at a podium or writing a letter that this is the greatest report they've ever seen. I mean, everybody has a lot of concerns. And it starts with the fact that everything in there, okay, is an excuse for the fact that we don't have enough storage and we can't build another reservoir. So thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Well, then let's have the next one, please.
Hello, my name is Jim Farrell. I wasn't going to comment at this point, but this seemed like...
1 second, John.
Jim.
Jim, you wrote something to the board because we're under correspondence.
No. Well, that was from your...
Okay, well, then how about if I hold you for when we have public comment because we're under, unless I can continue, we're under correspondence. Do we want to take public comment now?
Chair's discretion on this.
Come on up. Let's go, Jim. You're here.
Well, I was actually going to wait later, too, but I think
no,
my comments are apropos
yeah.
to what's already been said, and I just kind of almost want to just reinforce the things that have been said. I've spent a lot of time in strategic planning and long-range planning in my career, and you know, I actually think that you are on a really good path right now. I think we've got a lot of good data that we can work with. You can start moving something, you can move a fact-based plan forward, but you're not going to get anywhere until you resolve all of these issues around data and assumptions. And that may require you as a board to say, okay, the consultant's saying this, other people are saying that, and you're going to have to make a decision on which piece of data you're going to use. But that's not going to happen quickly, and it's not going to happen in the process that you're in right now. Somewhere you've got to have a work session around all these. You've got to get the list of all these things that people disagree on. I've got a partial list here, but I'm sure it's far from complete. And you better have a work session on this. Get this down, get it clear, let the board know what the options are, have the debates out, and then you make the decisions so we can go forward. The other thing that's got to happen really, really quick in this process is you got to start putting some money on these things. You know, and so there, you know, I went back and I reviewed the 2013 well digging project. We were looking for 370 gallons per minute or something there. Now we're talking 2,000. You know, and that one was too expensive. We had to pump it 3,000 feet. That's almost 5 miles. So I don't know where all this water is coming from that are in this plan. I think, personally, as a planner, I really like where you're at right now. But you've got to call a stop action and resolve these issues around assumptions and data and money.
Thank you. Item number 10, it's an action item. Consider adoption ordinance 0204. Oh, I'm sorry, ordinance, which is 2024-01, increasing water, sewer, solid waste service charges, storm drain, and security special taxes. Do I turn it to Mark? Mark, please.
So the resolution there is in the packet, and what's that, or the ordinance is there in the packet, and there's no change to what we've discussed previously for these rates.
Any questions of Mark?
No.
Okay, not seeing any. I'll make a motion to accept ordinance 024-01 on increasing water, sewer, solid waste services, storm drain, drainage, and security special taxes. Can I have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Director Beatty and Director Jacob. Roll call vote. Director Beatty.
Aye.
Director Beatty.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director Beatty.
Aye.
Director Gold.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item number 11, consider proposed fiscal year 24-25 budget adoption of corresponding resolution R-2024-04 approving the proposed budget for fiscal year 24-25. I'll turn it back to you, Mark.
Thank you. So again, this resolution is in the packet, and this is the same budget that's been presented the last two meetings. There's no changes. It's a balanced budget, and it's directing all of the property tax revenues to reserves.
Thank you. Staff, any questions of Mark?
Nope.
Thank you, Mark.
I make a motion to accept resolution 2024-04. Can I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Thank you.
To you.
Yeah, I know. Hi.
Thank you very much, Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director
Mickey.
Aye.
Item number 12, consider approval of legal services agreement for general counsel. And in my printed agenda, it says in parentheses with the personality. I don't know if it was just to me, but I think we turn this over to you, Mr. Ramos.
Director Mabee, thank you. I hope that we will satisfy that that element with this recommendation. So as each of you know, I notified the district a few months ago that I'm going to be leaving BKS in a few months. I've been appointed the general counsel to the Yuba Water Agency. Up in Marysville. I'll be starting in a few months. You asked me to assist you in finding successor general counsel, and I think we've done just that. We did that by sending a request for qualifications to a number of firms that specialize in public agency and water law. We received a number of excellent responses. Yesterday, several board members met to interview several of the applicant firms, and those board members selected for and recommended to you the firm of Richards Watson Gershon, RWG, as the next general counsel firm, with Mr. Patrick Enright serving as lead counsel. Mr. Enright has over 30 years' experience representing public agencies and is based out of the firm's Sacramento office. He'll be joined on the team by firm shareholders Indra Khalsa and Jim Markman, with Ms. Khalsa serving as another public agency expert and Mr. Markman as a water specialist. RWG has provided a legal services agreement for your consideration, and it's been reviewed and approved by the general manager and me and is up for your approval tonight. Before we get to that, if you'll permit me, Chair Mabee, I did want to express that it's been my pleasure working with the district for nearly 10 years at this point. I recall I was pulled in by Darlene Gilliam to work on a infrastructure reimbursement agreement that the district had signed 20 years before that, so we're going back 30 years.
Had you only known.
And from that point on, it's been many interesting issues. I've really enjoyed dealing with your staff, working with the board, working with your community, and I appreciate the opportunity. So thank you so much for this opportunity, and I hope that we've been able to find you a good successor general counsel. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Ramos?
No, I do have a comment. I thought the process was really well done. We've got some really good candidates, mm-hmm. and the two we interviewed were very good in their own. But thank you for all your help.
Thank you, Andrew.
With that, I make a motion.
I'll move approval of legal services agreement with RWG.
Okay, I second that.
Thank
Amelia?
You very much, Director Booth and Director Mabee. Roll call, Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Paul.
Aye.
I only have one note here, and it's a follow-up. We had a resident tell us last meeting that we made errors in prior minutes. The resident was going to follow up with you. Have you heard? Okay, thank you. Item 13, and I use the word consider here, okay? Approval of resolution R-2024-06, recognizing Andrew Ramos, District Legal Counsel, for his 10 years of service to the district.
I'll move approval.
I second. Amelia, can I have a roll call?
Thank you, Director Booth and Director Mabee. Roll call, Director Booth.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Paul.
Aye.
With that, Mr. Ramos, we do have in the resolution where there are a few whereases and therefores, so I'll skip some of it, but there is one that just really jumps out, and this is just on a professional level that dealing with you, and it states here, provided many hours of legal guidance in counsel to the district, and again, for you folks that aren't in government and understand the relationship of elected board with their legal counsel, we have had great legal counsel from Mr. Ramos. I can tell you he has cautioned me and given me direction numerous times on where the guardrails or thresholds are, and I appreciate that. You've always looked out for the community, our fiduciary responsibility, and so for that, and again, assisting us through really some pretty significant issues in this organization has been tremendous. And then my only other closing comment will be, I believe the Yuba watershed feeds into the consumeness, so if you can... just kind of help us out, you know, kind of remember wow. We're a resume builder.
You were the geography major.
No. I was never a major. Private was about as far as I got. But on all seriousness aside, outstanding job. I'm glad that you're moving on. It's for you and the family, but it's truly a loss to the district and the community. So I'll open it up to the other board members. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Get a picture.
We get a redo.
Okay.
You asked for comments. I echo your thoughts, and I say thank you to and
thank
for
you.
Being such a great help to the district.
And Andrew, I appreciate our conversations and the help that you've given me.
And I'll tell you, that's not what Director Pohl told me earlier, but I'll leave it there. Item 14, consider resolution for Michael Fritchie. It's resolution R-2024-07, and it's for his 3 years of service to the district. I'll make a motion if I could have a second.
I'll second it.
Director Pohl. Roll call, Director Booth.
Present.
7-I?
No. Oh. Present.
That's an abstain.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Director Butler.
Abstain.
Thank you very much, Director Jay.
Aye.
And Director Mady?
Aye.
And Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you, Amelia. Item 15, I'm going to turn it over to Director Booth, and it kind of goes back to your letter, ma'am, on the format on the town hall. Stephen and I had a lot of discussion before we had our first town hall and just laying everything out. I think it's been a great benefit to the district, which means a great benefit to the community. To be able to use Director Booth as the facilitator. But I want to make something very clear, and I'm sure the other board members will, in fact, opine the same way. In closed session, direction given to legal counsel and staff is exactly what you said, sir. We're in a very good spot. Decisions are not going to be made in the next days, weeks, or months. We have numerous items to work through. We have comparable facts. We have a lot of work still from the consultant to get, plus just internally staff work. You just heard that we have legal counsel that is leaving. We have legal counsel coming on board. So there is a big learning curve. Travis is sitting in for the director of operations, so that position has to be filled. So you're spot on. As a board, we recognized it, and that was a direction we gave to legal counsel and to staff. So as one board member said, it has to be done this calendar year. I'm very positive that it will be done this calendar year because other things go off of this integrated water master plan. So for those of us that are looking at having a decision made in days or weeks, it's going to be several months of still fact-finding information. And as you said, just that whole education process to the board and then ultimately back to the community for the final report. But with that, Director Booth, please.
Thank you. Pardon me for reading, but I prepared a statement. The meeting started promptly at 6 p.m. and with a dwindling crowd ended at about 9:10 p.m. There were approximately 250 to 300 people in attendance. CSD board members Butler and Pohl were also in attendance. River Valley Times reporter Gail Bullen audio recorded the meeting and provided the recording to CSD staff. It is currently posted on the CSD website. I opened the meeting with introductions of staff, board members, and consultants, and a brief description of the agenda for the meeting. Consultants Lisa Maddow, Stan Scala, and Ryan Stolfus made a brief presentation on Phase 1 supply and Phase 2 demand of the IWMP, with a brief period of Q&A following each presentation. A lengthy presentation on Phase 3 was followed by over an hour of Q&A. Several community members had requested to provide proxies to other speakers, John Merchant, Janice Eckert, and Jay and Myrna Solomon. These speakers spoke from 10 to 15 minutes on various topics. The consultants advised that water supply and storage is barely sufficient with current development in the event of a severe drought and woefully inadequate with projected build-out. The consultants discussed alternative sources of supply, including the use of Lake Clementia for potable water, increased use of raw and recycled water for irrigation and groundwater wells. The presentation on wells was greatly expanded from the presentation provided to the board last month. Speakers questioned some of the data used by the consultants, and there was a strong sentiment expressed that there should be a halt to further development. There was some lack of familiarity with the water and wastewater systems in Rancho Muria, evident in the comments and questions from some individuals, and we tried to answer those. The respective roles of the consultants, the CSD Board of Directors, and the County Board of Supervisors were described in response to questions and comments regarding the findings of the consultants, the actions to be taken to address the supply and demand issues, and the approvals for additional development. A letter from Stan Van Vleck opposing further development above Clementia and additional demand upon the river was read by Mr. Greg O'Brien. There were a few occasions where people spoke out or shouted questions from the audience, and two occasions where the various discussions throughout the audience interrupted the presentation. The audience was quick to respond to my request for decorum and respect for all of the speakers. Thank you.
As a board, when we had this option with the recommendation of legal, I think this was probably the best way to facilitate it, and so for that, thank you. I'll open it to other board members on item 15, Director Pohl.
I don't have anything to add, no.
Thank you. Director Butler?
It was a very good summary. It was basically what I experienced also. I think that the only thing that was a little difficult was that we started losing people after about 8:45, and so I think we learned a lesson there.
Bedtime comes early.
Well, I think that we probably could have spent less time on demand and supply and more time on options, Phase 3. Other than that, it was great.
Thank you. Director Janko.
I don't have anything.
Thank you. Item 16, and I think this is because your current board president's a knucklehead. This got on here. Mimi,
Did you want us to ask for unanimous consent on that?
You notice I moved on, right? You notice I didn't even look your way. If I understand our correspondence and correspondence from legal counsel, no action has to be taken at this point in time. We can just follow the current district code, which then puts the election or appointment of president after the November election, and it can take place at that point.
Okay, Andrew, on that one, I'm going to defer to Andrew on that.
Yeah, so the district has, I'd say it's a policy that's a little bit outside the norm of having a term limit for the president. It's a little bit outside the norm, but it's certainly within the district's, you know, authority to impose such a term limit. But it's a policy. It's not state law or anything like that. So being a board policy, you're welcome to waive it if that's the board's decision. It's made even more sort of odd by saying it's not just two terms, but a four-year right. term limit. And because, Director, maybe you assume the office of president, I believe, sort of off-cycle because of Correct. The resignation of another member, it means that your 4 years are up at a unusual time rather than the normal board election. So we set this up as being either consider appointment of another president if you want to follow the board policy, or waive the board policy and allow the current president to continue to serve until the next vacancy, and basically get back on track at that point and have it the election occur at the normal cycle.
Understand. With that, I'll open it up to the board members. So I'll start with Director Pohl.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to waive the board. It's actually district code that sets it at 4 years. I suggest we waive that and have you continue as president so that we can get back on the normal schedule. It's going to affect somebody else if we don't do that later on. So that's my motion.
I'll second that motion.
We have a second. I'll open it up for discussion on the second. Director Booth?
We're just a few months away from an election. I think it makes perfect sense to waive and allow continuous service from you, Director, maybe until we have the election in November, and then we can select a president at that point.
Thank you. Director Butler?
Same here. I think it makes sense to continue.
Okay. Amelia, roll call, please.
Thank you so much.
Aye.
Aye.
Director
Jacobs?
Aye. I'm going to abstain because I don't want to be part of this railroad that just took place.
Director Pohl?
Aye.
I did notice that they didn't ask if you wanted to stay in that position.
Exactly. Amelia, do you have any public comment? I know that we got Jim taken care of.
I did have one more public comment. Janice, if you want to talk about the IWNB more.
This will be really quick. At the last meeting, it goes back to the recycled water deal. I don't know if you guys saw, but I know the ones that weren't present didn't, but there was a pie chart, and it showed that the future recycled supply comes almost 50% from commercial application. I mean, that's just impossible. And so when I questioned that, they said, oh, wait, there's a lot of commercial development planned as well as an assisted living facility. And then my question is, I'd love to ask each and every one of you, where is it planned? And where is it on the maps that we have an assisted living facility? Is there anyone who can explain that to me?
I can, a little bit. My understanding is there is a potential for an assisted living facility up on the top of the hill as you come into Rancho Marietta. It's not owned by any of the current developers. It's owned by another woman.
I don't know what's in there.
Okay. But where is all the commercial? They said there would be a lot of commercial.
What's there is there, except for the extended stay, and I don't know anything beyond that.
Exactly. That's my point. The existing commercial uses 13% of our current demand. That's what it says on the pie chart. Anyway, and so our current commercial, we've got the old shopping center. We have the gas station. We have Bel Air would fall under the current deal. A couple of the commercial buildings that were built. We have the hotel. We have the two churches. We have the equestrian center. And I don't know if the country club falls under the commercial area, but those are all existing. That would be under our existing. And again, that's 13% of our demand. Where is all the commercial that's going to take it to 50% of the recycled water? That's my point.
No other comments, Amelia?
No, sir. No.
All right, thank you. Director, comments, suggestions. I'll start with Director Pohl.
I have nothing to add.
Director Booth?
I'm good, thank you.
Director Butler?
I'm fine.
Director Janko?
Nothing to add.
I have a couple of items. This goes to staff and the other board members with legal. I should have brought this up in closed session. Could all of us funnel everything to the GM? And what I'm thinking in my mind, Mr. Ramos, is kind of a priority list, or you establish a priority list for incoming legal counsel so we know what our transfer of command is. And maybe that works better to us if you would send it to us, and then if it doesn't or something doesn't jive, then we get back to you, if that kind of makes sense. So then my intent then would be to reach out to legal, to then set up introductory meeting, you know, just all those types of things. So if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. And I can prepare a confidential transition memo for legal counsel. Be happy to have the board review it confidentially. And we do plan, of course, to set up some meetings with incoming counsel.
Perfect. And like I said, I forgot to bring it up in closed session. Then the only other thing is it could have been tragic last year on 4th of July. As it was, we just had minor to moderate injuries. So I just implore to the members of the community, truly have a safe and sane 4th of July. Enjoy yourself. Get your fast pass tickets ahead of time so you don't wait at the north gate. With that, I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Aye.
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 Aye.